current events and what God's Word has to say about it, and the all-important subject of liberty. I believe with all my heart that liberty is a gift of God, and something that we need to be very careful about keeping and conscious of. And so it's just good to be here. Good to have Dave Blanks in the studio this morning. How are you, Dave?
Excellent, sir. I hope you are too.
Yes. Just good. A little cold, that's it.
Yeah, it was a chilly morning. I turned the heat on. I haven't had it on, but I turned it on this morning.
I know. It's tough for me. Last week, we talked about immigration and a few things, what the Bible had to say about it, and that seemed to go really well. We had several callers. We actually had some callers after the radio broadcast as well, so it's a subject people are interested in. That's
How did the Bible refer to them? Or strangers?
Yes. The Bible talks about that God had told the children of Israel to love the stranger and be good to the stranger because right. ye were strangers in the land of Egypt one time. Basically, that's a paraphrase, but that's what it is talking about. And so we talked about that. I'm going to do just a little bit out of the book of Proverbs this morning. I'm going to tell, I always do a devotion out of the book of Proverbs. And of course, today is the 11th of May. So I'm going to be reading out of Proverbs chapter number 11. And I always encourage everyone to read along with us or get in a good habit of reading a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And so, that's one for every day of the month. Of course, some days are shorter, but this month has 31 days. And I meant to mention last week, Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Well, thank you, Wynn.
I sort of forgot it. You're not a,
appreciate
you're not a mom.
No, I'm not.
But
not
we,
yet.
We had a great Mother's Day service at church.
Well,
and
good.
Just had a good time, and we appreciate all of our moms and what they mean to us. And none of us would be here without Mom, that's for sure.
That is true.
I'm going to tell a little intro before I read out of Proverbs chapter 11. This
Is it pertaining to this?
It's pertaining to, and it's a little bit different, and might just have a moral to the story.
All right.
Once upon a time, a young lady comes to the pastor, and she's sort of, you know, testing the waters to see how he felt about a certain thing, and she had got a nose ring.
Uh-huh.
And so she comes up, and, you know, she's expecting, just going to, you know, like young people do to their parents and people in authority, teachers, pastors, whatever, you know, going to sort of let him have the news, you know. Hey,
maybe
look.
Maybe a little
you
rebellious
know,
yeah. streak, yeah.
Hey, look, what do you think about my nose ring? And the pastor says, oh, yeah, I said, the Bible talks about nose rings, and she's like
it?
Surprised. She was very surprised. Oh, really? You know, sort of proud and sort of, you know, ha ha.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, yeah, yeah, the Bible talks about nose rings and people that had them and things of that nature. And she was all, you know, excited about that. And so the pastor said, yeah, it's in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. And, you know, sometimes we need to be careful what we're proud of.
Probably not what she was expecting.
No, she was not expecting that at all. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Of course, you know that's talking about a earring in a pig's nose.
Right.
And so is a fair woman which was without discretion. Without discretion is the ability to make a good decision.
Right.
And I talked about that on Mother's Day at church, you know, about our mothers. And many times they would say, nope, don't do it. Don't do it, son. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to allow it. You're
but
not.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I said so.
Right.
Yeah.
I tell my kids, I say, I'm saving you from embarrassment later on. Just trust me on this. I've been down this road before. Before. So that's maybe a little different, but that's what I come across this morning. Proverbs chapter 11. Read along with us, though. It's a good habit to be in. You will learn more out of the book of Proverbs about daily living, life, family, government, finances, raising children. It's all covered in the book of Proverbs. So next week we'll be in Proverbs chapter number 18. And so I wanted to go over that today. There's a couple of things I'm going to talk about today, Dave. One of them I'm going to go ahead and get into, Romans chapter number 13, because you know how time gets gets gone.
Fast.
But Romans chapter number 13 I'm going to talk about. And we don't have a little intro or a little break for a commercial, but I'll just say right here that this is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, sponsored by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, 1128 Baird's Creek Road, and we'd love for you to come and be with us. We've just finished up studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. Well, we will this Wednesday. We're at the chapter number 31, and then I'll announce on the radio what we're going to study, but we always have good studies. I went through the book of Revelation. Took me a couple of years to do that. That was a real good study.
That's a doozy.
That's a big one. It took a couple of years to go through the book of Proverbs.
Really?
And yeah.
Wow.
And so there's a lot in there, but we'll be getting into something else. I've got a few things I'm praying about. But I'm going to talk this morning to begin with about Romans chapter number 13. What got me thinking about this, and I would say, you know, if you'd like to call in, if you've got a question or comment pertaining to the subject, or maybe even last week's, you know, that would be fine. We can take a little break along. But Romans chapter number 13, I was looking.
I should say the number is 262-1567.
Right, 262-1567. But I was reading some articles, and it was talking about that, you know, Christians should obey the government and basically go along with whatever the government says because, and here was the because Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And I've heard people use that to say, you know, well, if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible, then you should obey the government, and whatever the government says, you should go along with, really, no matter what it is, because, and they'll say, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and that's a legitimate statement right there. You know, the powers that be are ordained of God. We know that God has allowed things in our country and in every country is because the Lord has allowed it. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. I'm not going to spend the whole time about it. But what I would like for you to do, maybe if you have a Bible, you ought to turn there and you ought to underline every soul. Let every soul be subject. That means every person is what that's talking about. Let every person be subject unto the higher powers. Now, we're in America, so I'm going to talk about what goes on in America. And this is very pertinent to our subject here on the blessings of liberty, because we need to ask ourselves, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, what is the higher power? And then, is everybody subject unto it? Every soul, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, if we go back to, and I use this all the time because this is the basis of the radio broadcast, we have to ask ourselves, what is the higher power in the United States of America? And I'll just, I'm not going to beat around the bush about it, but the higher power in America is not what the president says. The higher power in America is not what the Congress says. It's not what the Supreme Court says. That's the three branches of our government. All branches of our government, legislative, executive, and judicial, are all to be subject. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That means even the president, he should be subject unto the higher powers. It means even the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They should be subject unto the higher powers. And what I'm getting at this morning is the higher power in the United States of America. It's not the president, it's not the Congress, it's not the judicial branch. It is the Constitution of the United States. And that is what our constitutional republic is based upon. That is our go-to. That is our higher power. That is what our forefathers agreed upon. This is how we're going to govern this country. And I'm going to read from the preamble to the Constitution. And it says over there, we the people. And I will never forget the first time I had Congresswoman Virginia Fox on the radio show. And I had met her and talked with her just a little bit prior to her coming on the radio broadcast, and she had made this statement at it was a get together down at the Golden Corral. The Bethel Baptist Church does a little power lunch sometimes, and it was down there that I heard her, and she made the statement. She said the three most important words outside of the Bible are "we the people." And then she said that on the radio broadcast as well, "we the people." And I'll go on. It says in the preamble to the Constitution, it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty." And that, of course, is what we generally talk about, the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and our posterity. That's our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. "Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." So I agree wholeheartedly, 100%. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The powers that be are ordained of God. There's no power that's not of God. And in the United States of America, our higher power is the Constitution of the United States. Now, the sad part is that over the past, 30, 40, 50 years, our Constitution has been eroded away. And eroded away. I've made reference to this before, that Judge Andrew Napolitano, I've heard him on several different news shows and read some of his articles. He's even got a book out now. I think the name of it is What Your Government Has Not Told You. But he said that most politicians today, they break that oath to the Constitution when they put their hand down. There are so many things going on in our country which are literally unconstitutional. And so that would be good for all of us to remember this morning and to put into our conversations when people talk about, you know, we ought to obey, we ought to do this, we ought to do that. Is it constitutional? And there is I believe it would be correct to say that there is a revival in the land concerning the interest of the Constitution and getting back to the Constitution. But I don't see that there's a revival of listening to "we the people," and that concerns me. I've talked to more people lately. Last week when I got off the radio broadcast, I had a call at the store, and person that was asking me about some things concerning voting and all like that, and they said, "I've never seen our country in such a shape. How did we get to this point? We've stopped obeying, looking to our Constitution, the Constitution." So that's important. I wanted to bring that up today. I wanted to talk about something else, though. Dave, you'll remember this. I talked about this back in February, and that was the subject of... Let me think. But my mind went blank.
I thought you were just messing with me.
No. that on May the 20th.
Oh, your independence?
Yes.
Yeah.
That
you're declaring your independence.
Declaring my independence. And, you know, since then, of course, I started way back in February and we had some time. But May the 20th is soon going to be upon us. And if you're a new listener, what I sort of had talked about for several weeks was the significance of the date of May the 20th. I'm going to share that with you right now. On May the 20th, 1775, the Safety Committee of Mecklenburg County met in Charlotte, North Carolina. And during this meeting, they declared the citizens of Mecklenburg independent of Britain. And this was the first time in America that the colonies, one of the colonies, declared themselves independent of Britain. In fact, this was America's first declaration of independence from England, and that happened May the 20th, 1775, which is over a full year before the Declaration of Independence that we normally talk about, which was in July of 1776. May the 20th, 1775 is on our state flag. It's in remembrance of the Mecklenburg Declaration of Independence. And so what I was talking about doing on May the 20th, because of the significance of the date, me personally, I'm going to go and change from, I'm a registered Republican, and I'm going to go and I'm going to change from Republican to an independent. And there is not only myself, I've heard other, lots of other people. In fact, the independent is vote is becoming very popular. And it doesn't say when a person is unaffiliated, that's actually how you register in North Carolina, but it's not saying I'm going to be for Republican or Democrat. It says I'm unaffiliated. And at that time, I gave several reasons. I gave biblical reasons why I thought it would be more scriptural to be registered unaffiliated than it would be to be with, affiliated with any party.
Right.
And I talked a lot about the corruption in both parties. And there is a lot of corruption. There's a lot of power. That, in fact, I believe that the two-party system is doing a whole lot more harm than it is good in our country. There's so much money involved. And both sides have problems. I'm not condoning one or the other. You know, in the Republican Party just a while back, they had a scandal, I guess you'd say, where they had spent money in a, what I would call, I think what it was a strip club, something like that, and they'd spent a lot of money, and the leader of the Republican National Committee, he come under a lot of fire because of that, but not just because of that, but I believe that as a Christian, go ahead, was you, as a Christian.
Well, was it taxpayers' money? Is that what you're?
Well, it's where people's donated to the Republican National Convention or committee, whatever it is. They had spent money.
Okay.
But our tax money goes to all kinds of stuff anyway. I read an article a while back. I wish I'd printed it off and brought it. But the thousands and thousands of dollars of liquor that our taxpayers buys every year to go to embassies for gifts in other countries, that goes to these big dinners. And it's just, I mean, all around the world, the main company was Jack Daniels. And, of course, it had a picture of Hillary, and she's there with a glass in her hand. But it was talking about, and really, if you get to looking into where our tax dollars go, it'll just turn your stomach. But I don't believe our country needs to be involved in things like that. But it's both parties. So I was not really encouraging a movement along those lines, but I was just talking about what I was going to do.
Right.
And since that time, I've had a lot of people talk about, you know, thought it was a good thing. A lot of people have already went and changed from one or the other, you know, if they're a Republican or a Democrat, it doesn't matter. I gave some reasons, though. I gave a scriptural reason, which ought to guide our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And I begin to ask myself the question, could I really be a registered Republican to the glory of God, knowing what I know about what goes on in politics, both parties? I'd ask myself a question, the same thing if I was a Democrat. And the answer is I can't. I believe if Jesus came and registered, which we know that that's out of the realm of possibility, but I sure don't believe he'd register Republican, and I don't believe he'd register Democrat. And the only other option there would be libertarian or unaffiliated. And I think scripturally that God's people really ought to look at being unaffiliated, because I know down through the years that has caused a lot of strife in churches one way or the other. You know, we like this president, we like this person, whatever, you ought to vote for them. And people get that D and that R, and they set it up way higher than it's worthy of being set. So being unaffiliated from a scriptural standpoint, to me, just makes a whole lot more sense. In the Bible, there was, in Jesus' day, there was an extreme right and an extreme left, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus said about them, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, he said, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." So according to that, you know, he wasn't for the extreme right. He wasn't for the extreme left. He said, you better be careful of both of them. And I really believe it would help our country a great deal, if it's not already too late, but for people to, and I've had, you know, people with common sense will tell you this anyway. I look at the person and what the person believes and what the person says. And, you know, that's really what the way that it ought to be. John the Baptist, I'm talking about, he called the Pharisees and the Sadducees vipers in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 7. A viper is a snake. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I think that probably that's not a comment.
Like, it wasn't a flattering thing to call them. No, that certainly was, not. I'm not a huge fan of snakes myself.
No, me neither. You
know, and some people are.
Right? I know.
And but I don't think in this use it was.
No. So I wanted to talk about that just a little bit. Scripturally, I believe that would be the avenue to take. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So be hard to reprove something that you are in and involved in. The strongest form of protest is actually separation from. And that is the main reason why I am changing. You know, if you want to call it encouraging others just by me doing it, you know, if other people wanted to, I'll meet you there on the 20th. I think it's a that's what I'm going to do. I'll just put it like that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." And, of course, at one time, Paul was a Pharisee. He was the extreme, extreme right. And he came away from that, and he said he was separated. Who he was serving was not the Pharisees and their agenda, but a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. So I thought that was interesting when I found these scriptures and began to look them out. So I wanted to talk about that today, and I wanted to talk about Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1. If we had any callers, you know, that's interested in calling in, we'd be sure to. We'd like to take your call, 262-1567. We have just a few minutes that are left today.
A little over five minutes.
And so that gets going pretty quick. And so we'd be glad to take your call as well. I did have a caller last week talking about the subject of immigration. And this was right when we'd went off the air. And the caller made the point that it seemed to them that the president was, let me see, would be the best way to put this, he was discriminating already against the police and had been discriminatory in the past. You remember when he talked about the police department up in Massachusetts, how that they had acted stupidly in arresting the guy that was trying to get into his own house. And remember after that they had the beer summit, and
I do remember that.
Everything that he had caused more division along those lines, where he's supposed to be or should be wanting to bring people together, that by his comments that he was actually causing a lot of division, because once again he'd come out and sort of insinuated that the police would automatically do the wrong thing in Arizona. And so there's a lot of maybe truth to that. I don't know. But I thought that was a good point to make there. So we had the Romans chapter 13 I was going to talk about, May the 20th. And I was going to mention on our flag, there's two dates on our flag. And I had it in my
notes.
On North Carolina's flag. I was going to mention the other date. And I lost it in my notes there.
First one was May the 20th.
May the 20th. And the second one now, I've lost my place. But it was, we had asked that question one time, what was the two dates upon our state flag? I'm thinking the other one was in April. Maybe one of our listeners knows. I had somebody come in the other day, and they were looking for a North Carolina state flag. And I couldn't find them and didn't know where. That they could.
I did see a flag in your shop, though.
Yes, but it's not a state of North Carolina flag. No. Hey, here it is. The other date is April the 12th, 1776, when the Halifax Resolves authorized delegates to not only vote for independence at the Continental Congress, but also suggested that independence should be declared by all colonies. We were the first colony to make this recommendation in writing. And so North Carolina's got a great history as far as the Declaration of Independence, and a great history anyway.
I love North Carolina.
Yes, North Carolina has great history. Some things that people may not know about the North Carolina, the state of North Carolina and their history, where I was a missionary once upon a time, I lived in the state of Idaho for almost 4 years. And I've talked to several different people over mission boards. There are more missionaries that come out of the state of North Carolina, people that may be born and raised in North Carolina and leave here to go and start churches other places in the world. There's more missionaries comes from North Carolina than any other state. There's more missions dollars comes from North Carolina than any other state. There's more missions works that are started out of North Carolina than any other state. So,
wow.
North Carolina has a great heritage of trying to get the gospel out. In fact, in Asheboro, there's a church down there that has a monument, and it was the church that Shubal Stearns started back in the late 1700s, and there's a monument there that says the mother of all Southern Baptist churches, not Southern Baptist Convention, but there was they came down into North Carolina, they started a church, he came down here and started a church, and they started something like 600 works out of that church in just a few years.
Wow.
And so a lot of heritage in North Carolina. Our time's quickly coming in. Going today. It's almost time for the 12 o'clock news. But I would say this is brought to you or sponsored by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, 1128 Baird's Creek Road. We're located on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willa Valley Golf Course, a little nine-hole course. And we'd love for you to come visit with us. We Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10. Preaching service at 11, so we'd love for you to come and be with us on Sundays.
So you're finishing up Proverbs this Wednesday night.
Yes, and I haven't decided what I'm getting into next.
Okay, so that's what you said you were praying on.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, but I will let you know. All right, we appreciate it. It's good to be here today. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Wynn. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty right here on AM 1450 WATA. Coming up, the 12 o'clock news block. Stick around. Be informed. This is WATA Boone.